Good morning. The reading today is on the sheet in front of you or on the screen, and it's chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 7 to 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen.
It would be great if you had the service sheet or if you brought a Bible to have a Bible open at 2 Corinthians 4. And there is an outline in the service sheet. Let's pray together. Father God, we need your help. We thank you that you are the God who shines lights, his light into our hearts. Thank you that you have given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We pray for more light now as we look at your word. Please illumine our hearts and minds to see more of the glory of your Son and your good and great and gracious purposes in calling us to yourself, to live and speak for Jesus. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on Tuesday we have our annual church meeting, and this sermon is what I want to say to us from God's word. Let me share an imaginary report again on Trinity Church. The church continues to go from strength to strength and from success to success. Numbers attending increase every year. The church's work with children and teenagers continues to grow. God has a great plan for his people at Trinity. There is no suffering, no hardship, no struggle. The church is popular in town. Those who speak are impressive and powerful. The church plant north of Buxton goes from strength to strength. People admire the state-of-the-art modern buildings. It's a story of strength and success. Well, of course, an accurate report on Trinity would be much more mixed. We've fewer adults, children and teenagers than 10 years ago. Fringe people are drifting away through the pandemic. There's no church plant north of Buxton. Our buildings continue to be a challenge. There's hardship and suffering in the church family, and Christian ministry feels like a real struggle, full of troubles, even more so in the pandemic. It doesn't feel like strength and success, much weakness and apparent failure. But praise God for so much evidence, so much visible evidence that God is powerfully at work. Praise God, in the midst of struggles and suffering and hardship, God's people are relying on God's grace and learning that His grace is sufficient and are keeping going. Groups of young people and students and adults and older people are meeting to build one another up in Christ. We love and serve some of the most vulnerable in society. God's people are persevering with gospel hope. You're loving and caring for one another. And unbelievers are still hearing the gospel. Our aim as a church is to make wholehearted and mature disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. We want a church of disciple-making disciples. We want people to hear the gospel, to, God willing, to be converted, and then to be able to share the gospel and build others up. The challenges for us as a church are great. They were for the Apostle Paul. And these verses tell us all about the suffering and weakness of the Apostle Paul as he tries to make disciples of Jesus. Look what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church in verse 8, famous verses. We're hard pressed, I love this, on every side. It's hard enough to be hard pressed on one side, isn't it? The Apostle Paul's are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, just think of our situation. I want us to earth this in our situation now. There are so many people to reach with the good news of Jesus, so much to do, and so little visible effort, little visible fruit for all our efforts. It's easy to feel perplexed. On a personal level, I've tried to witness faithfully in the cricket club over 20 years. One person has come to faith in Jesus. It's easy to be perplexed by that, discouraged. We can feel perplexed and struck down by those who start well and with great joy in the Christian faith, but then just drift away. Or to put it honestly, those who just leave the fellowship, sometimes without any thanks for the love and care and teaching they've received. We can feel hard-pressed and perplexed by the troubles and struggles of living in a fallen world. Health problems, chronic illness, disappointments, difficult relationships in family or work. Some problems can seem impossible to solve. And let me say, will be impossible to solve this side of heaven. Just continued pain and struggle, both physical and mental and emotional. The Apostle Paul writes in chapter 12 of this letter, verse 8, of a thorn in his flesh. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Note those words as we go through this sermon. And then we can feel perplexed and struck down by disagreements in the church. Remember that the Corinthian church has many problems. It had been full of immorality. It was full of proud people who thought they knew what was right in ministry. And Paul has to remind all his brothers and sisters of the priority of love. Praise God for so much love that goes on at Trinity. We want more of the love of 1 Corinthians 13. And now, this Corinthian church want to distance themselves from the Apostle Paul, his message, his methods, and his ministry. Again, that is the temptation of the church in 21st century Britain. I mean, we can feel that the message of Jesus Christ crucified is weak and foolish. And we can feel that the methods of proclamation and teaching are weak and foolish. We can feel perplexed by those who call themselves Christian, even Bible-believing Christians, but who want to distance themselves from the apostolic gospel, the message, the holiness of life that seems crystal clear in God's word, but people want to change. We can feel very hard-pressed as we teach the truth of the Bible and refute error. We certainly won't be popular with other Christians, and we will be persecuted. There are people in this church family who have suffered the most terrible verbal abuse in their families for trusting and following Jesus. Perhaps we don't realize that. Paul is knocked down, but he's not knocked out, is he? Just look at those verses again. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. And twice in this chapter, chapter 4, he says we do not lose heart, verse 1 and verse 16. And as I said last week, on either side of this chapter, he says that he is very bold and very confident because we have this, he says, this glorious ministry. So as we look at these verses, sorry, that's a long introduction, but it's important. Don't lose heart in living and speaking for Jesus because, firstly, we're kept in weakness and suffering so that the life of the risen Jesus is seen at work in us and sinners are saved and built up and transformed, and that's all to God's glory. We're kept in weakness and suffering so that the life of the risen Jesus, this is important, is seen at work in us, and sinners are saved. See, these verses don't just tell us about the Apostle Paul's weakness and sufferings, they tell us the purpose of his weakness and suffering. These verses contain three purpose statements. I'm just going to go through them. Look at the first purpose statement in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show, you might say, in order to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So the treasure is the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. What treasure every Christian has. Good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God puts this treasure in jars of clay, as we saw in Anna's illustration. A cheap, common clay cup back then. Jars of clay, unimpressive, not attractive, easily chipped and broken. So the Apostle Paul compares himself to an unimpressive, unattractive, easily chipped and broken cup. And in that cup is the treasure of the gospel. He is an unimpressive, unattractive, very ordinary, easily cracked vessel that contains the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and conveys the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does God do that? Well, look at the reason, verse 7, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not us. This is God's deliberate plan for the message and the methods. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. It's all about God, not about us. So God keeps Paul weak and unimpressive and in suffering as he speaks about Jesus, so that people can see that it is God's power at work in him. God's power is seen in the fact that he keeps going. He doesn't lose heart. He perseveres, hard-pressed, but not crushed, knocked down, but not knocked out. Look at this power of God. It's the power and life of the risen Jesus. Look at verse 10 with the second purpose statement. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that, here's the purpose statement, the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. See, do you see? I think this is the massive surprise, isn't it? God wants something to be revealed or seen as the apostle is kept weak and suffering. And that is the life and power of the risen Jesus. He was in Christ, you and I are in Christ, united to the risen Jesus with all his resurrection power and life. And that keeps him going and it keeps us going in weakness and suffering. Verse 11 contains the third purpose statement. For we who are alive, look at this, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that, here's the third purpose statement, his life may be also be revealed or seen in our mortal body. So living and speaking for Jesus faithfully and clearly will always feel like death. It will be as if we always carry around with us the death of Jesus. Now, think about what Jesus taught. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow. He suffered, we will always suffer. He was rejected, we will always be rejected. He was misunderstood, we will always be misunderstood. He was made to look foolish and weak, we will be made to look foolish and weak. He was treated unjustly, we'll be treated unjustly. See, how do we like to be seen? Successful, popular, up with the current fashion, fit, healthy. In living and speaking for Jesus, we will always look weak and unimpressive. We will always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Why? So that the life and power of the risen Jesus may be revealed or seen in our body. And you see, the Apostle Paul does not lose heart, and nor should we. Because true ministry is always kept looking weak and unimpressive, suffering, so that it is seen that the only reason we keep going is the power and life of the risen Jesus. And let me say that as I look around Trinity, I see the life and power of the risen Jesus at work. Do we see the right things? And all the glory goes to God. Look at verse 12. It's a staggering verse. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So every day, as we serve others, both non-Christians and Christians, it will feel like death. It's just like the death of Jesus. But life is at work in the person that we serve or we speak to. And we love and care for because sinners are being saved and transformed and brought to glory. Serving Jesus faithfully and clearly always feels like death. See, imagine doing some young people's work. And you can work this out in different areas of the life ministry of Trinity. You prepare well, you're faithful, but the kids are badly behaved and don't seem interested in God's word. It might actually be happening right at this moment, this, by the way. Incidentally, do we pray consistently for a hunger for God's word right across our church family? And you see, the teacher feels rejected, feels worthless. You feel like death. But that sowing the seed is bringing life and great fruitfulness in lives that are good soil. I said this before, I'm going to say it again. I know of at least four children who've been described to Julia and myself as the worst behaved children in our Sunday school. Two of them were our sons. And all four are now clearly committed Christians serving Christ and his gospel. Praise God for those who persevered in teaching them when they felt like death. They kept going because the power and life of the risen Jesus was at work in them. And life and salvation was at work in those four children and still is. And they're doing the same. Feeling like death as they run their little Christian unions in their schools. But life is coming to others. So don't lose heart in living and speaking for Jesus. I want to say be bold, be confident. Then secondly, because we'll be raised in glory. Verses 13 and 15. Look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 13. Look at the emphasis on speaking. Verse 13, it's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. It's a quote from Psalm 116. The psalmist kept his faith in the face of suffering. He spoke about his Lord. So the Apostle Paul quotes him. Verse 13 continues, since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Why? Look at verse 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you, you Corinthians, to himself. So Paul doesn't stop speaking about the Lord Jesus because he knows in the future God will raise him and the Corinthians from the dead to present us with you to himself. It's glorious, isn't it? And what is so striking here is that these were difficult Christians, these Corinthians. Not easy. He loves them. But he's going to keep speaking and teaching and sharing the gospel. I was reflecting on this, actually. To put it bluntly, the opponents of the gospel can only put the Apostle Paul and us to death, but God can raise the dead and bring you and I to glory, and the Apostle Paul and all those who we serve and minister to. So of course Paul keeps speaking about Jesus, and so should we. Verse 15, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Just imagine the thanksgiving to God on the last day for all the living and speaking for Jesus that continued in weakness and suffering. All to the glory of God. I love the fact that it keeps speaking, by the way, uses that phrase, the NIV, because if it said preaching, everybody would think, well, that's what Bob, Dave, and others do at the front. But we're all called to speak, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord with our lips. What good news we have. Good news that offers righteousness and life and freedom and transformation and the only true hope, because of course he's raised. Let me just reflect this too. So often we think we know better than God in the methods he chooses. Just think about the methods of Jesus. Jesus was the best preacher there's ever been. Jesus must have been the best one-to-one evangelist there's ever been. But how many followers did he have when he died? you see, we'll become like him in his death. We carry around with us in ministry. You see, God chooses the methods. We keep speaking. And so when someone comes to faith, it's entirely the work of God's sovereign grace, isn't it? We were reminded of that in the last verse of the verse from last week in verse 6. Our responsibility is to keep speaking. So don't lose heart. And then thirdly, we're being renewed for glory. Verse 16, we're being renewed for glory. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, you know, outwardly, Paul is wasting away. Physically, he was weak, hard pressed, struck down, perplexed, looking weak and fragile. He has a constant thorn in his side. We don't know what that was. But inwardly, God was doing a great thing. Through all the troubles of Christian life and ministry, he was being renewed, transformed. In chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So God's great plan in his love is to transform us or renew us into the image or likeness of his Son. So whatever sufferings and troubles we're experiencing, God uses them to transform us and renew us. And that goes on day by day, because the troubles are with us day by day as we live and speak for Jesus. Now, Paul here calls his weakness and suffering light and momentary troubles. Why does he do that? Light and momentary troubles. Because there is a future glory. Look at this verse. There is a future glory that is beyond comparison to anything we experience here. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Future glory can't compare with anything in this life. Now, of course, our troubles don't feel like that. But in the light of eternal glory, which is impossible to compare anything with, they are indeed light and momentary. And this, of course, challenges us and encourages us. How do you regard the suffering and weakness and apparent failure of ministry? Often we're tempted to put our Christian service and ministry on hold as we pass through troubles. We're tempted to think that normality will be living and speaking for Jesus without troubles and weakness and suffering. But God says something very different here. That weakness and suffering in serving and speaking with Jesus is normal. Indeed, we are to be like Jesus, who we follow in his suffering and death. And don't expect serving or speaking for Jesus to look gloriously successful in the present. If I've read this passage correctly, it is God's deliberate plan to keep us weak so that we're dependent on him and his grace and the resurrection life and power of Jesus, and it's to be seen to be that way. You see, the likeness of Jesus is seen at its greatest in our weakness and suffering. Patience in weakness, love in weakness and suffering, persevering in weakness and suffering. So God uses all of that to renew us now in the present. How do we keep going? Verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to keep our eyes fixed on what is unseen, that is the eternal, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who we don't see now, but we hear from his word. So often we focus on this world and our apparent success and well-being in it, but this world's passing away. So let's fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for bringing us to know yourself and your Son, Jesus, as Sovereign Lord. We thank you for every work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. We thank you for those who shared the gospel with us, who persevered in that. We thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus for our sins. And we thank you for opening our eyes to shining light, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we ask that you would write this message on our hearts as we seek to live for Jesus, to become like Jesus, to speak for Jesus. Thank you that in our weakness, your grace is sufficient. And thank you that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Please write this lesson on our hearts as we keep going, living and speaking for Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen.